It's a real pleasure having you here, Vince.
It's a lot of fun being here. I'm just warming up because I got more stories yet. Well, you know, it was a hat and gloves and high heel type thing for women, you know. I mean, you know, the woman didn't go out on the street unless she, you know, was completely covered and dressed up. And the men never went out on the street unless they had their suit on, practically. That was one of the things. As far as the culture, well, it had its nightclubs. It had its tea dances. We never could afford to go to New Joe's. Mm-hmm. Just the girls that were making $15, $20 a week dancing or singing, and the musicians that were making $3, $4 a night in pay and $10 a night in tips, because they really had the rounders then, you know. The day of the rounder was really, really gone. But talk
about that a little. What do you mean?
The rounder's a customer that had a few things going on the side, you know what I mean? A couple of women going on the side.
Uh-huh. Or a gambler, maybe?
Gambler, and they were tremendous horse players. And they used to come in and just, drop $5 for any old thing. Ace in the hole. By the time I got out of school, it was $5. Can you play Begin the Begin like Artie Shaw? Because, see, that record came out July of 1938. The Rounders kept all these musicians. Musicians really played Rounders tunes. Lulu's Back in Town, Sonny Boy. These are late tunes. I'm in the 30s, but they had the Doll Dance, NOLA. All these things were 20s tunes. Sweet Lorraine, Sweet Lorraine is 1923. And the clarinet players, saxophone players, drummers, the trios were playing behind these singers or strippers. And they got a wage, but they also got tips. And as I understand it, they hauled off and split everything every night. That was a loyal thing between all the girls and the guys.
So the rounders were hustlers of one sort or another who made their money on the shady side of the law, but were big patrons of jazz music or a certain, whatever their favorites were?
Sure, exactly that.
We've talked about most of your career. We're up to the 1970s now, and I guess at some point you moved from Dixieland to a more mainstream jazz with Larry Vukovich?
Yeah, that was after leaving the Fairmont. I just fooled around. I began to do one of my Artie Shaw licks. he'd stop too, so I stopped. I didn't play for a year. And then I started playing again with a band called Sweet and Hot. Now we're up to about 1990, and then that's when I met up with Larry, started hiring me at the hotel. Larry Vukovich hires all kinds of talent at the Hyatt at Union Square. They call that the Grand Hyatt, and on the 36th floor, it's Club 36. He hires all kinds of people, clarinet players, saxophone players, singers, and he started hiring me around 1989, and then he decided that we should make an album, and we made an album that's out on CD, and we added, it's John Markham, Al Obudinski, Larry Vukovich, and Alan Smith, and myself. And it's just, I'm not playing any saxophones. I haven't played a saxophone since, oh, God, the early 60s. I just played clarinet on it. And we have a few things like Undecided. I also play a blues, a little blues, and then I play in a blues with the rest of the group, and I play in Perdido, and the rest of it is involved with Alan Smith in rhythm section. Also, Larry did a few solos by himself, too.
Sounds great. Let's listen to a little bit.